The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarten
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, remains of late Professor Kofi Awono to be flown in today. Kenya declares 3 days of mourning for Westgate shopping mall victims. Ghana's effort at tackling MDGs hailed. World marks Pharmaceutical Day today, and NPP congratulates German Chancellor Angela Merkel on election victory.
The body of former Council of State Chairman Professor Kofi Awono will be flown in today at 11 this morning. The family spokesperson, Professor Kofi Anyidoho, says upon the late professor's wish, the burial will be private. However, a state-sponsored program will be held on the 9th of October. Radio Ghana will update listeners on the detailed program. Now, Kenya has begun 3 days of national mourning following the end of the four-day siege by Islamist militants on Nairobi's Westgate shopping mall. In an address, President Uhuru Kenyatta said 5 militants have been killed and 11 other suspects arrested. Development partners at a UNDP and World Bank dialogue session on MDGs in New York have lauded Ghana's efforts in tackling the goals of the Millennium Development Goals. In an address at the event, President Mahama says Ghana remains focused since challenges of regional and socio-economic disparities exist. And the NPP congratulates German Chancellor Angela Merkel on election victory. A statement signed by Jake Obiechebe-Lamte, the party's chairman, says she has over the years provided wise leadership that continues to create wealth for her nation and its people.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The body of Professor Kofi Awono will arrive in Ghana today for the final funeral rites. Government officials met family members yesterday to finalize arrangements to receive the body and subsequent funeral rites. The spokesperson for the family said Professor Awono requested for a private funeral, which will be done accordingly on the 3rd of October. A state-sponsored ceremony will be held on the night with the interment on the 11th of October.
We were in the middle of the meeting when the chief of staff received confirmation from Nairobi that indeed we can expect those Awono's remains to arrive on Kenyan Airways. I'm being asked to inform the whole country and maybe the whole world through the good services of the media that those Awono has requested, made a specific statutory declaration requesting for a private, strictly private burial, which will take place on Thursday, the 3rd of October. And I must emphasize the fact that it is going to be a private burial and can only be attended by formal invitations.
That was spokesperson for Professor Kofi Awono's family, Professor Kofi Anyidoho.
You know, earlier, our reporter Bubu Klinigo visited the North Legon residence of the late poet, politician, and academic.
The late Professor Kofi Awono had his private residence at North Legon, a walking distance from the Legon Botanical Gardens. In the house were black and red canopies with mostly red plastic chairs to match. Seated were family members of the late professor who were receiving visitors. It was a sad and pathetic scene when a younger brother of Professor Awono, Dr. Koku Awono, who happens to be the Upper East Regional Director of Ghana Health Service, walked in. Upon seeing his other siblings, they broke into spontaneous tears. Dr. Awono told me he was out of the country when the tragedy occurred and was just seeing his other relatives for the first time since the incident. Some members of the family told Radio Ghana how they got the news.
That Saturday before the news came, one of the daughters is wedding that day. So we were there before the news came, but he didn't tell us anything that day. It was the following day before, because of the wedding. Maybe we shared and meet the thing, meet Basa. So that Sunday morning, we can't do anything. We don't know how to do. Everybody in the house was very sad because of the news. We can't eat, we can't do anything. And that day we're supposed to go to church with the
For now, the family is anxiously waiting for the arrival of the body. And one thing is certain, it will be a day of wailing.
That was our reporter, Abubu Klinogo.
Questions are being asked about how and where Professor Awuna was killed. Some reports of it that he was shot in his car at the parking lot of the Westgate shopping mall. A spokesperson for the family, Professor Kofi Anyidoho, told Radio Ghana that nothing has been confirmed yet. According to him, the late professor's son, Alfechi Awuno, who was with him at the time, might not even be aware of how it happened, but he remains the only one to explain the incident.
We have to give time. The only person who can confirm that for us, even that we are not so sure, will be his son. He hasn't arrived here yet. He was with him. He was an eyewitness of what happened until he gets here and tells us what exactly happened. But you see, it is clear that even he didn't know. That's why when I spoke to him on the phone, he said, I'm still looking for my dad. I can't find him.
Well, the son was also injured, is fast recovering.
Now, as the world condemns the dastardly attack by Al-Shabaab terrorists on the Westgate Shopping Center in Kenya, an Islamic scholar, Sheikh Arimayal Shaibu, has added his voice to denouncing the act. Speaking on Behind the News, Sheikh Shaibu describes the act as a crime against humanity, saying the Islamic faith abhors it in every way. He said there is no basis for such an attack in Islam.
It's a crime against humanity, it's a disrespect for the dignity of human beings and a violation of the sanctity of human life, which Islam upholds. So Muslims of decent and proper understanding of Islam will forever remain opposed to this kind of activity. There is no place and there's no basis for it in Islam.
Sheikh Arimayal Shaibu sounded a note of caution to Islamic scholars to be mindful of the doctrines and piety that Muslim youth of today are attaching to the religion, saying they are misinterpreting the principles of the Quran to suit their own violent tendencies, thereby creating problems in society. He advised Muslims to study the Quran diligently and do the right thing.
When you hear a section of the Muslim community claiming responsibility and then deriving their inspiration from our holy book, then we must get worried. We must be worried because in a global world where information comes very, very quick to us, young people are imbibing some of these ideas and believing that they do so because they are fit and connected to their religion. It can be a very dangerous trend, and Muslims of decent mind and proper understanding must rise up to the occasion and make a review of the kind of teaching that people have received over the centuries, for the decades, and make sure that we are now giving people the correct understanding. Secondly, Muslims who have a better understanding must become a bit courageous. It appears we have allowed a wider scope of operation for those who are violent and for those who do not give the correct interpretation of Islam to operate and to dominate the space of Islamic activity. And I think that we owe to ourselves that responsibility to come out with the correct teachings so that we can restore the correct image worthy of respect for all those who even do not profess our religion.
Sheikh Arimayal provides solutions from the Islamic perspective on how to curb terrorist attacks in the name of Islam.
We ourselves are not safe from this dastardly activity, and so we must engage with Muslim civil society and even non-Muslim civil society. We must also engage with the security personnel. We must engage in a very fruitful kind of dialogue in such a way that we ourselves to be able to see the signals at any time, and to be frank and to be honest, to draw attention to such signals. We should be able to engage with our embassies, Islamic diplomatic missions in the country, so that together we form a chain and a network of security consciousness, that through our own religion we guarantee the security of our own people and on our own selves. We need to survive in order to be able to give our teachings. And we need to also be able to allow people to survive so that they can become a recipient of our teachings. If we kill them, then we do not have anyone to talk to.
You heard Islamic scholar Sheikh Arimayal Shaibu.
And still on Kenya, spokesperson for former President Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings, Kofi Adams, says the attack on Kenya by Al-Shabaab militants must be a major concern to all Africans, because any country can suffer the same fate at any time. He suggested that the African Union must establish a standing army or command as a unit which involves peacekeeping soldiers from various African countries to be sent on peace missions. By this, he said, no particular country would then be targeted by terrorist gangs as interfering in their operations. He spoke to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
What we need now is to have a keen support from across the continent of Africa. There should be that cooperation, that we should not see a situation in one country as being too far away from us. It can be very far, but it will be very near. We are not going to build any giant wall to stop our people from traveling to other countries. And so what is happening in one country must really concern us. What is happening in Nigeria must concern us. What is happening in Somalia must concern us. What is happening in Kenya now must really concern us.
What lessons can the African continent learn from the Al-Shabaab terrorist attack?
I would have wished that by now EU will have a standing army, a standing force that can go into countries where need be, like in the case of Somalia. So it doesn't become that some countries are identified as just the troop contributing countries and therefore could be targeted by these extremists in attempt to attack them for contributing the troops and security presence that have helped deal with them. If the standing army is there, nobody knows which country has contributed what. Everybody says, okay, this is an EU high command which is responsible for doing such, so they cannot single out any particular country for attack. I think we should hurry and institute the African command.
That was spokesperson for former President Vice Lieutenant Gerrigan Rawlings, Kofi Adams.
Meanwhile, the Executive Secretary of the Coalition of Parents of Private Students, Dr. Simon Gene, has asked African governments to do all they can to prevent extremism on the continent. In a tribute to the late Professor Kofi Awono, Dr. Gene said he knew Professor Awono in the America where he mentored Ghanaian students and inspired them to look ahead in the emancipation process.
A mighty oak tree has fallen. Prof is no more. What a tragedy. Who are we, lay mortals, to question life's journey? Prof, the year, Jimmy Amanino. I am very devastated indeed. I can't express my sadness. I met Professor Kofi Awono in 1989 in the Americas when I was a student leader, and he was then the Ghana's ambassador to Cuba and the Caribbean. I saw him as somebody who was lovely, candid, frank, a disciplinarian, and a truthful fellow. He treated us students as though we were his children until he was reposted to the United Nations. He will surely be missed, and this brings to fore the threat of extremism in all its forms. And I ask, can the world change strategy in fighting extremism? I convey my deepest condolence to the family on my behalf and former students of the Americas, and that the Lord will welcome his soul in his bosom. I will say, if we have people as frank as Prof was, Ghana's development will be faster.
You are into education. Prof was also into education. Now, Africa is being threatened by terrorism. What should African leaders do?
Presently, I've always said that in any situation, if you come to classical Marxism, they tell you every problem has within it solutions. And I've always said that it is always good to talk. I think we must change course in the strategy in fighting extremism and terrorism. Within the terrorist cycles, there's always the moderate voices, and these moderate voices should be heard and talked to. Because if you corner them totally, then they fight back in a brutal form. So my wish is that the world must sit down now and see if they can change strategy. Because the way it is going, I don't think we are winning the war. We are not. However, we cannot give up. We must continue fighting.
That was the Executive Secretary of the Coalition of Parents of Private Students, Dr. Simon Gene, in that tribute to late Professor Kofi Awono.
Kenya had begun 3 days of national mourning following the end of the four-day siege by Islamist militants on Nairobi's Westgate shopping center. In a televised address, President Uhuru Kenyatta said 5 militants have been killed and 11 other suspects arrested. Several bodies, including those of some attackers, are thought to be trapped under rubble after 3 floors of the building collapsed following a blaze. Mr. Kenyatta says there had been intelligence reports that there were 3 Americans and 1 Briton among the attackers, but that has not been confirmed. He says Scotland Yard in London have confirmed that a team of officers are in Nairobi to help with post-incident procedures, including gathering scientific evidence as well as supporting the work of British coroners.
Our losses are immense. To the honor and memory of those who lost their lives in this attack, I have declared 3 days of national mourning during which official flags will fly at half-mast throughout the country. As I had vowed earlier, we have ashamed and defeated our attackers. 11 suspects are in custody in connection with the attack. I promise that we shall have a full accountability for the mindless destruction, death, pain, loss, and suffering we have all undergone. These cowards will meet justice, as will their accomplices and patrons, wherever they are.
That was Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
Now, former President Right Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings has sent a message of condolence and solidarity to the government and people of Kenya following the terrorist attack on the Westgate Mall in Nairobi last Saturday. Right Lieutenant Rawlings said the Westgate attack is a reminder of the huge challenges that still confront Kenya and all avenues that have to be explored. And all avenues have to be explored to bring an end to the devious agenda of the Al-Shabaab insurgents. The former president called on the government and people of Kenya to remain resolute even under these very trying moments and continue to play a vital role in securing stability within the region.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: remains of late Professor Kofi Awuno to be flown in today. Kenya declares 3 days of mourning for Westgate shopping mall victims. Ghana's effort at tackling MPGs hailed. World marks Pharmaceutical Day today, and NPP congratulates German Chancellor Angela Merkel on election victory. We are back after the break.
Radio Ghana, leading the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. And away from Kenya, President John Mahama says though Ghana has made significant progress as far as the Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, are concerned, it remains focused and not complacent since challenges of regional and socioeconomic disparities still exist. President Mahama was addressing a UNDP and World Bank dialogue session on MDGs on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York. Heads of state from Tanzania, Bangladesh, Costa Rica and the Kingdom of Tonga also shared their country's successes and challenges on achieving the MDGs by 2015. Ghana has reduced extreme poverty by half ahead of the 2015 deadline. Development partners at the event lauded Ghana's efforts in tackling the goals. Pascaline Adadivo has sent this report.
The dialogue session was dubbed Tackling the Unfinished Business, Accelerating Millennium Development Goals Progress. Four heads of state from Ghana, Costa Rica, Tonga and Bangladesh had a platform to trumpet their country's achievements as far as tackling the goals before the 2015 deadline is concerned. All the four countries somehow have made significant progress. World Bank President Jim Kim, who opened the dialogue session, stressed on the need for countries to build partnerships. He said the World Bank has observed some delay in progress and only concerted efforts by governments can save the situation.
It's always last 2.5 years are going to be the critical moment that we could make much greater progress than we have even in the last 10 or 12 years. There's nothing like a target and an end date to focus people's attention and make sure that we're all moving together in the same way.
UN Ambassador Carl Lewis gives hope to Africa. He says the goals are attainable.
And despite these successes though, we know much remains to be done. We need to muster that burst of energy for the last mile we need to go. And as I know, as an individual who's won 10 gold medals, if I did it by myself, we can all achieve these 8 development goals if we work together. The goals are within reach, and with strong will, our combined knowledge, resources, and efforts, we will get there.
Ghana's President John Mahama said Ghana has taken significant steps towards achieving the MDGs, but with mixed results. So far, modest successes have been chalked up in goals 1, 2, 3, and 6, which have to do with housing, extreme poverty, education, gender equality, HIV and AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. However, MDG 4 on child mortality, 5 on maternal health, and particularly particularly gold 7 on sanitation, are lagging behind. Comparatively, much work has been done by Ghana. A first step towards this is the development of an MDG acceleration framework against the 2015 deadline. President Mahama believes achieving the MDGs requires strong leadership and sustained efforts, as well as seeing the goals as a development issue that requires a multifaceted approach and response.
Strong leadership and sustained efforts are essential for making headway against intractable issues such as maternal health. The Ghana MDG Acceleration Program 2010 was drawn up in response to the presidential declaration of maternal mortality as a national emergency. The maternal mortality ratio has been declining steadily, but too slowly to reach the target by 2015.
Melinda Gates of the Gates Foundation shares Ghana's success story. Melinda Gates Foundation has a primary objective of enhancing healthcare access and contributing to poverty reduction.
You heard about the amazing progress going on in Ghana. Some of the other things that Ghana is doing, when they talk about this 44% decline in child mortality, it's because they really focus on a number of very key and specific things. They focus on vaccination rates. Not only did they raise the vaccination rate, cut the child mortality rate, but then when the rest of the world is dealing with something like a measles outbreak, Ghana's not dealing with that because they've got such great vaccine coverage. Ghana's also introducing mobile technology in a very smart way to start to say, how can we educate the workers better? How can we educate women better about antenatal issues? How can we make sure that women come in for their antenatal visits? They can do all of that through a cell phone.
According to President Mahama, Ghana is vigorously pursuing the implementation of the MDG 5 with focus on improving skilled delivery, emergency obstetrics, and family planning. He says Ghana remains a contender to achieve this goal within the next 2 years. From New York, Pascaline Adadevu for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, President Mahama says fighting corruption is a collective effort which requires perseverance. As president, he admits the fight against the menace is a Herculean one, which goes beyond just the passage of bills to enforce them. President Mahama was answering questions from students of the Columbia University in New York during an interactive session. Pascaline Adadevo again with his report.
Columbia University is a global leader in higher education because of its ability to attract highly accomplished students from across the world. The students exhibited this when they had the opportunity to ask President John Mahama questions regarding developments in Ghana. Indeed, the line of questioning only proved the point that they have taken keen interest in the developing country Ghana and have been following her progress. The questions span from politics, education, health, economics, and social issues. One of the students commended Ghana for achieving the Millennium Development Goal 1 of eradicating extreme poverty and hunger. Ghana had the privilege of receiving an award from the United Nations at Rome this year for progress in that area. One of the students from Jamaica wanted to know how the infamous ZIDA, National Health Insurance Scheme, and illegal mining are being tackled by the Mahama-led administration.
There's ZIDA, which is quite a big issue in Ghana right now. We have the National Health Insurance Scheme. We have issues with illegal mining. So obviously a lot of, Ghana's doing really well, but there's still a lot of issues internally. Of all the different issues mentioned and not mentioned, what would you say is your government's biggest priority right now?
This was the president's answer.
You know, it's a very important governmental program to provide young people coming out of schools to prepare them for the world of work. Unfortunately, the management was not carried out properly, and so there's been problems of corruption and misappropriation in the program. We conducted an investigation and we're taking the steps to correct what went wrong. NHIS is doing well. We need to focus on sustainability. Every year we have an appraisal program to look at how sustainable and the NHIS, and based on that program we make adjustments to it. We're tackling the issue of illegal mining. I had a lot of foreigners engaged in illegal mining. I don't want to mention one nationality, but we deported thousands of people from our country because they were engaged in illegal mining. And so we are in the process of restructuring the Minerals Commission and creating the systems that will ensure that we don't destroy the environment as a result of small-scale mining.
Another student said there are complaints of difficulty in doing business in Ghana from abroad due to bureaucracy. President Mahama mentioned the setting up of a diaspora index at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to assist Ghanaians abroad or foreigners who seek to do business in Ghana. Fighting corruption also came up.
Talking about the fight against corruption, it is a difficult fight, but it needs specific
perseverance and determination to be able to root it out. And it doesn't take just the person, it takes everybody to be able to do it. What we need to do is to create an environment that makes it difficult for corruption to exist. You can pass the best laws, but laws don't implement themselves. They need people to make sure that those laws are implemented and corruption is reduced. Currently, we're sending before Parliament a public officers code of conduct bill to guide how public officers deal with issues of conflict of interest and receiving gifts and so on and so forth. We also are strengthening the existing anti-corruption agencies, that is the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice. We're sending legislation to Parliament to amend the Constitution to allow the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice to take up investigations into issues of corruption without first receiving a complaint. We have the right to information bill that has been pending before Parliament for a long time. We're going to pass that and allow people to exercise their right to information. We have asked the Attorney General to begin prosecution of people who are found culpable in the Auditor General's report. And so I'm giving the Auditor General the license to go ahead and begin to prosecute such people. We need to deter people from involving in corruption.
President John Mahama.
Now, the Ministry of Finance says it cannot trace the agreement between the Ministry and African Automobile Limited, AAL, which prompted the supply of vehicles by the company to some state institutions. The director in charge of external resource mobilization bilateral at the Ministry, Kwejo Ewuapiasa, could only provide a letter from the Attorney General's Department instructing the Ministry to pay monies awarded to AAL as judgment debt. When he appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission yesterday, we bring you Ernest Obienim's report.
Representatives of the Ministry of Science, Environment, Technology and Innovation and the Department of Urban Roads also appeared before the Commission in respect of vehicle supply to some state institutions by African Automobile Limited in 1995. The director in charge of external resource mobilization bilateral at the Ministry of Finance, Kwejo Ewuapiasa, also provided another letter instructing the ministry to pay over 16 million Ghana cedis to AAL, but could not tell whether the money has been paid. The chief director of the Ministry of Science, Environment, Technology and Innovation, Sylvester Anemana, could not provide any document on the vehicle supplied by AAL in 1995. He said the ministry was dissolved in 2005 and re-established in 2009, but there is no record on the case. The deputy director in charge of finance and administration at the Department of Urban Roads, Philip Latte, pleaded for more time to search for documents on the supply of vehicles by AAL. The commissioner, Justice Yawapil, was surprised how the Ministry of Finance paid money to AAL on the instruction of the AG's department without cross-checking from the institutions on whose behalf it was paying the money.
Ernest Obienim filed that report.
Ghana today joins the rest of the world to celebrate Pharmacist Day. The day is celebrated every year to showcase the contribution of pharmacists to health improvement, particularly helping patients to make the best use of their medicines. This year's theme is Pharmacist, Simplify Your Medicine, No Matter How Complex. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Executive Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Society, Dennis Sena Arite, said the work of pharmacists over the years has helped patients to take their medications in a timely and appropriate manner.
The NPP has congratulated Chancellor Angela Merkel on her historic election victory. A statement signed by the party's national chairman, Jake Obetchebe-Lamptey, says the German Chancellor has over the years provided wise leadership that continues to create wealth for her nation and its people. It said Mrs. Merkel has been a good friend of Ghana and looks forward to her continuing interest in the well-being of Ghana and its citizens.
Turn the news a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. The body of former Council of State Chairman Professor Kofi Awuno will arrive at 11 this morning. The family spokesperson Professor Kofi Anyudoho says upon the late professor's wish, the burial will be private. Kenya had begun 3 days of national mourning following the end of the 4-day siege by Islamist militants on Nairobi's Westgate Shopping Center. Development partners at the UNDP and World Bank Dialogue Session on MDGs in New York have lauded Ghana's efforts at tackling the Millennium Development Goals. and Ghana today joins the rest of the world to celebrate Pharmacist Day. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Executive Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Society, Dennis Sena Awite, said there will be an official launch at Tano Odumase in the Ashanti region. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwadri
and Doreen Ampofinakra.